The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation, I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Once again, here's Bradness.
Okay, once again, stuck in the middle with you. Happy to be here. Nowhere I would rather be. We're going to be speaking momentarily about all things Iraq, military, veterans affairs with Scott Dick, our regular PBC military affairs contributor. And we will, of course, take your calls at 888-573-8372. That is 888-5-PETER-B. I keep telling you to be the media. Well, now is your chance. What's going on out there? What are you guys seeing out there? What should we be concerned about? What would you like to ask Scott Dick about or me about? Deborah Bowens, before we go to Scott Dick here, Deborah Bowens, top to bottom voting machine review is due tomorrow. It's a landmark review. No one has ever looked into voting machines like this. Four independent groups are going to be releasing their reports on all of the electronic voting machines certified across the state of California. I think we're going to get a big document dumped tomorrow, and this is a heads up for anyone within driving distance of Sacramento. On Monday, there's going to be a public comment period, a hearing, and we'd love you to be there. I'm down here in Houston, Texas, so I can't get there, but I would love for you guys to make some noise up there in Sacramento, because I promise you the voting machine vendors are going to be there in spades, as are the election clerks, who are not happy about this report. Another report that at least folks, RNC folks, will not be happy about. Check out truthout.org late this afternoon. Previously undisclosed documents detail how Republican operatives, with the knowledge of several White House officials, engaged in an illegal, racially motivated effort to suppress tens of thousands of votes during the 2004 presidential campaign in a state where George W. Bush was trailing his Democratic challenger, Senator John Kerry. The documents also contain details describing how Bush-Cheney 04 campaign officials and at least one individual who worked for White House political advisor Karl Rove planned to stop minorities residing in Cuyahoga County from voting on Election Day. Got that? The efforts to purge voters from registration rolls was spearheaded by Tim Griffin, a former RNC opposition researcher. Griffin recently resigned his post as interim U.S. attorney for Little Rock, Arkansas. His predecessor, Bud Cummins, was forced out to make way for Griffin. And they've got a whole bunch of emails from these guys concerning their, what did they call it here, their voter fraud strategy conference call. That was the plan. That's what we've been telling you about over at bradblog.com for years. Well, no one's been paying attention. Looks like PBS Now is paying attention because they're going to have a report on this tomorrow. We're going to have their producer of that report on, and hopefully Greg Palast will be on with us. And, maybe Deborah Bowen. All right, let's go to Scott Dick. I think we have him. We got Scott. Good deal. Scott Dick, our regular Peter B. Collins military affairs contributor. Oh, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brett. How are you? Thanks for letting me bother you on this Thursday afternoon.
You know what, everybody? Everything is bothering me today. What a mess we're looking at. I don't even know where to start in Iraq. I've got a stack of papers in front of me here about this mess. So I could put my hand in the jar and pick one out, but I'll let you start. Where do you want to start with this week's mess in Iraq, Scott Dick?
I want to start with this circular reasoning being done by the White House. And it's a clever... What we're seeing, I think, is a 1-2 spin cycle here.
Yeah.
You know, I have a German washing machine that'll spin at 1600 RPM and your clothes come out almost dry. And this is what we're getting from the White House.
How so? How are we getting the spin?
Well, here's July 24th, 2007. 2007, July 24th. What is that, 2 days ago?
Yeah, I was going to say, right, 2 days ago. What are they saying?
President Bush flies to South Carolina and goes to Charleston Air Force Base. I've been there a couple of times. It's where they really run the big military strategic airlift from the United States to Iraq, to Germany, and Afghanistan.
Right.
And gave this speech. And it's breathtaking in its spin. Now, if we look at the American public,
This is the speech where he says that Iraq, Al-Qaeda has been in Iraq all along, and that's why we're in Iraq. Is that the speech you're talking about?
Yeah, and my favorite is this quote, and I hate to read to you, but I'm going to because I can't express it any other way.
Okay.
From his speech, in 2001, coalition forces destroyed Zarqawi's Afghan training camp, and he fled the country, and he went to Iraq, where he set up operations with terrorist associates long before the arrival of coalition forces. Now, he's saying this to justify why we're in Iraq and how critics are wrong about this being the central front.
Right.
He continued, in the violence and instability following Saddam's fall. Now, who provided the country with the violence and instability?
Exactly. And Zarqawi was, and Al-Qaeda in general, they didn't like Saddam Hussein.
Well, Zarqawi was able to expand dramatically the size, scope, and lethality of his operation. In 2004, I don't know what he was doing from 2001-2003, but the president fast forwards. 2004, Zarqawi and his terrorist group formally joined Al-Qaeda, pledged allegiance to Osama bin Laden, and he promised to follow his orders in jihad. So the 911 commission,
right,
Intel, everybody else said there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. So is this is how he conflates the two. So Zarqawi was a Jordanian terrorist who went to Iraq. We don't even know that for sure. We have to take President Bush's word for that. And he created Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and therefore Al-Qaeda is in Iraq. Therefore, the war in Iraq is in the central fight against Al-Qaeda.
And indeed, an analyst over at the Boston Globe, there was a Boston Globe piece just, I think, today or yesterday, says that, who is this, rare testimony before two House committees, Edward Gistaro, the National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats, said that Al-Qaeda terrorists operating in South Asia are better equipped to attack the United States than the network's followers in Iraq are. Asked which arm of Al-Qaeda concerned him the most, Gistaro told a joint session of the House Armed Services and Intelligence panels that it was Al-Qaeda in South Asia that concerned him, essentially Pakistan and Afghanistan, much more so than Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Right, and this is a follow-up to the Intel estimate, where they came out and said that we've actually made a stronger, tougher, better equipped, Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Basically what we've done is we've helped Osama bin Laden in his business development cycle. The guy's a businessman. People forget that.
Right.
We call him a terrorist, but he's a multi-billionaire businessman. He's done business development in Iraq, and the Intel estimate came out and said they're stronger and more powerful and more popular than mm-hmm. they ever were before. They have successes in recruiting, et cetera. Bush said, I don't think that's true. Now, he gets to cherry pick what Intel he wants to believe, just like they did the run-up to the war.
Mm-hmm.
So now he says, that's not true. So where is he getting his information? If the Intel community is producing the Intel estimate,
yeah.
These guys aren't from the American Enterprise Institute.
Well, we're going to talk about these guys from the American Enterprise Institute in a moment here after we get back. But I'll tell you, this guy who says that Bush is just dead wrong looks to be the chief U.S. Intel analyst for the CIA. I mean, the guys who worked, these are guys in, if not in the administration, I guess he's a career guy, but our own government is telling us that George W. Bush is lying. Surprised?
And Brad, the last bastion of support is that 31% of people in the United States that believe that Bush is doing the right thing, and a big portion of that is from the American military. The statistics are staggering, where the average population, 73%, know that there's no combination, there's no correlation between Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the attacks on 911. There's a large percentage of American military still believe that. And one of the ways this gets done is by Bush going to South Carolina to American Air Force Base and giving speeches like this.
Well, and who are those 28%, by the way? If you are one of the 28%ers, the Bush dead-enders out there who still support this president, who still support this war, please give us a call. We'd love to hear why at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Oh, please call us and tell us that we're fighting them over here, there, so we don't have to fight them over here or whatever crap that is. We'd love to hear from you. We're speaking with Scott Dick, our regular PBC Military Affairs contributor. We've got a lot ahead. He mentioned the American Enterprise Institute outlining another lie from Bush, who said he will listen to the generals on the ground. Well, apparently he didn't when he came up with his surge strategy. Are you shocked? Come on back for much more of the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll explain that and so much more. 888-5-PETER-B. We're right back.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets, Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773,
And quickly, we're going to take a look at traffic northbound 17 before the Cats Restaurant. Had word of an injury crash there. Looks like everything is now cleared up, but the traffic was rather slow, to say the least. CHP also was telling us about a problem. Let's see here. I believe they were telling us a problem. It's as we get our computer updated here, and it's located East Martine Avenue, Murphy and Hollister. It's a non-injury crash being reported.
Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman in for Peter B. from bradblog.com. We're speaking with our regular military affairs contributor, Scott Dick, talking about the mess in Iraq for a change. Of course, I challenged callers to call in. We're trying to find those 28 percenters. Scott, you don't mind talking to those folks, do you?
I don't. I've talked to a few of them before, and
yeah.
It's an exercise in futility, I have to say, though, Brad.
Well, that's true. You may be right, but I'd still love to hear from them because they don't get their viewpoint out quite enough.
Yeah, I'm just being sarcastic. You know, one of the things that Bush closed with or mentioned in his speech to the military, it was a photo op captive audience, and I've been a victim of those captive audiences, and you just stand and wait for hours,
right.
And everybody puts on a happy face for whoever the president happens to be. He was talking about Democrats and their ideas about Iraq, and he says the problem they have is with the facts. We are fighting bin Laden's al-Qaeda in Iraq. Iraq is central to the war on terror, and against this enemy, America can accept nothing less than complete victory.
Mm-hmm. And they dutifully all pass on those same lines. We had Max Blumenthal on yesterday who went to a college Republican convention, and interviewed these folks, and they all said that, you know, why do you support this? Oh, we're fighting over there, so we don't have to fight them over here. And then, of course, he asked them, great, are you going to sign up and go fight? No, I got bad knees, I got a bad back, I got acne, I can't do it.
I have wealthy parents, that's one reason I'm in college, and you think I'm going to waste my time going to the military? I don't think so.
Well, that's exactly one of them said. It's not for me. I'm going to fight the war here at home somehow by becoming a good speaker.
Getting a lot of corporate subsidies for my corporation that my daddy owns.
These people are just unbelievable. All right. Well. If they want to call, we're going to move you right to the top of the line. If you want to call in and tell us 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Let us know why the hell you're still one of the 28 percenters. Who support this guy, George Bush, and this war.
We were talking about this back and forth, the whiplash that we keep getting from the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, I briefly mentioned the AIE, the American Enterprise Institute, which is an arm of the Republican Party, and it's funded by SCAFE. Anybody can go look at the SCAFE Mellon Foundations if you don't believe me.
Right.
See where they put their donations. They put it on their website. You'll see the AEI gets a bunch of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of neocons. The Wolfowitz is there after he's disgraced from the World Bank. He's there, et cetera,
He's back, yeah.
So you have John Boehner. Boehner,
Scott.
It's B-O-E-H-N-E.
And, you know, a guy with a name like yours should be very careful about that sort of thing, Scott.
Yeah, that's why it's okay for me to call him Boehner.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So here's a quote from him. It's yesterday. He says, if they are not listening to reports from our generals today, how does anyone believe they will make an honest and objective decision in September? Boehner said, our national security is not a political football, and Republicans aren't going to treat it as such. That has a screaming neon lie.
Yep. Well, here's what they said. Bush has been saying for how long that, you know, he's going to listen to that the troop levels and all the everything else, the strategy was going to be determined by the commanders on the ground, the generals in the field, not, this is a direct quote, actually, I'm going to remind the people in the audience today, this was earlier this month, that troop levels will be decided by our commanders on the ground, not by political figures in Washington, D.C. But, as it turned out, in fact, there was this effort from these folks at the American Enterprise Institute, led by Fred Kagan, who's been talking, and we've been reporting on this guy at Bradblog. Credit to Alan Breslauer over there, who's pulled out a lot of this stuff on Fred Kagan. He's wanted this surge forever, and so while some of the commanders, correct me here, but didn't General Casey, didn't these guys want to not have a surge? Weren't they looking at an alternate strategy?
Well, the, you know, Kagan and an Army general, a lieutenant general named John Keane, it might be even a four-star, they got into the White House early. Now, Keane, we've interviewed Joe Galloway, who wrote We Were Soldiers Once and Young, has been a military correspondent since 1964. Mm. And he knows these generals, three-stars, four-stars, two-stars, backwards and forwards. He's a beer-drinking buddy, Shinseki, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He said Keane is, you know, he described Keane as a dullard and not exactly known for his strategic thinking. So Keane and Kagan carry the neocon conservative agenda to the White House, and people should be offended and outraged. And here you have Donnelly, who was a senior planner at the American Enterprise Institute, saying it became sort of a, he's talking about the briefing to the administration, it became sort of a magnet for the movers and shakers in the White House. He's talking about these weekly briefings on the surge plan. Donnelly said the AEI approach won out over plans from the Pentagon and U.S. Central Command. The two Army generals then in charge of Iraq had opposed a troop increase.
I don't understand, but George Bush said it was going to be done by the commanders, not the political figures in Washington, D.C. It's as if he's not telling the truth.
Somebody's lying, and I don't think it's this Donnelly guy. I think he's quite proud of himself.
And Kagan, by the way, has also been lying because he said, this was exactly the plan I called for. Well, his original plan, I believe the number was 60,000 troops or something like that that he called for, and then he kept scaling it down until it came to exactly what it was that Bush ended up calling for officially, although I think he's putting a lot more in there than he actually told us he was going to originally. Is he not? Support troops, etc.?
Well, yeah, I don't know if they have any more troops to put in there.
There's nobody left.
There's nobody left. And, you know, I was just looking at this quote. That, you know, I think they should just muzzle this guy because he's not doing the administration any favors when he says stuff like, in January, President Bush announced the surge, which kicked off the next month. I think without the AEI exercise, it would be highly unlikely we'd have followed a completely different course over the last 6 months in Iraq.
No doubt. And, hey, Alan Breslauer, give us a call if you want. He put together a great mashup on the lies that this Kagan has been telling you. All right, more with Scott Dick after this message. We're going to talk about the general who may be demoted because of Pat Tillman, a lawsuit against the Veterans Affairs Committee. Oh, so much more ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Is obesity contagious? That may sound a bit outrageous, but researchers say it's true. We do what we see others do. James Fowler of UCAL San Diego says when friends get fat, we go as they go.
A person's chances of becoming obese increase by 57% if they have a friend who becomes obese. Similarly, a person's chances of becoming obese increase by 40% if they have a sibling who becomes obese. And a person's chances of becoming obese increase by 37% if a spouse becomes obese.
More after this.
Are you thinking about buying one of those inexpensive memory foam mattresses? Think again. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from authentic Tempur material. The one that shapes and contours to your body, guaranteeing a restful, rejuvenating night's sleep. Those knockoffs don't even come close. Call Tempur-Pedic today at 1-800-805-3495, and they'll send you a free video, a sample of the proprietary Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. You won't get that from those other guys. Tempur-Pedic is the real deal. Call 1-800-805-3495.
I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice then, now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333, we'll name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333. That's 800-282-3333 for the hottest gift.
Can you catch fatness from others? Yes, you can, says study author James Fowler.
There's a long literature on the influence of social support on health. This is the first one to show how obesity actually spreads through the social network from person to person to person.
When it comes to body size, girls affect girls, guys affect guys.
The effect is stronger among same gender pairs, which helps to explain why we found friends having a stronger influence on one another than spouses.
Co-author Harvard's Nicholas Christakis found that, too. It's like monkey see and monkey do. What we see around us every day, we tend to think of as okay.
People look around them and see people gaining weight and then might change their attitudes about what constitutes an acceptable body size.
But there's a silver lining here. From all of this, it does appear that if fat's contagious, it may be true that thinness is contagious, too. The point seems to be well known. We don't get thin or fat alone.
Treating people in groups may be more effective than treating them individually. So collective or group dieting or efforts to participate in sports and other activities that are collective may be more effective than individual attempts alone.
Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of this program can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
5, 4, 3, 2...
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is away, but the show must go on. And now, from Houston, here's more from Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about.
Every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
A massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
The danger to our country is grave.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The Iraqi regime could launch a biological or chemical attack in as little as 45 minutes.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb, and with fissile material, could build one within a year.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons.
Oh, do they?
The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological and chemical weapons.
Oh, really?
Keep on rocking me, baby.
In his speech to Congress, the Prime Minister opened the door to the possibility that you may be proved wrong about the threat from weapons, Iraq weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we won't be proven wrong.
Won't be proven wrong. The war built on lies from the administration built on lies. And hopefully they will go down on those lies as well. Brad, over in the bradblog.com chat room, Agent 99 points us over to an online poll right now of Lou Dobbs asking, do you believe U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez should resign? And, of course, Lou Dobbs, not exactly a lefty pinko. The results, as of this moment, let's see, 9,395 votes. It's an online poll. 95% say yes, he should resign. 5% say no. Heck of a job, Gonzo. All right, we're speaking with Scott Dick, our regular military affairs correspondent. We've got some news I know we want to cover here about Pat Tillman in a moment, but this whole mess is coming due in September, right? We'll get it all sorted out by then, Scott Dick?
Absolutely not. Now, here's what's interesting.
Yeah.
I think the administration and everybody else, all of us, need to perk up our ears. You know, Mitch McConnell, and I don't understand his thing, although I might have an answer for why he would say something like this. Now, he's the Senate Republican leader, and he's just been a total Bush apologist in the war in Iraq, fight him over there before they come here, et cetera, et cetera. On Tuesday, he was asked about the campaign plan, and his quote was, there are a lot of different stories coming out of Iraq from various generals saying various things. Let me just say, as far as the Senate is concerned, September is the date we're looking to for the assessment from Crocker and Petraeus. That doesn't get their attention, then nothing on this planet will, Brad, because that's a guy who is really, he's had his finger in the hole in the dike.
Well, because the new word is that November is the new September. That's what we had been hearing, that, don't get your hopes up about September. It's going to be more like November. And
you know,
then
summer I hate to interrupt you, but you know, it's summer 2008 is the new September 07.
Is that right?
Yes, right. And
where does that come from?
I'm a little confused by this Associated Press report, who is talking about the Bush strategy and the fact that it has a revision in place that's being written by Crocker and Petraeus. Now, apparently, the strategy was announced by Bush, and then the plan was written after that. I never in my entire military career ever heard of that. Heard a commander say, well, my plan is to blah, 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 and then write the plan after that.
So,
this is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And apparently Crocker and Petraeus are now trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. In other words, this is failing, and they're saying, well, September 07, you know, yeah, that was flexible based on blah, 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 and now maybe summer. And that's the initial goal, just the initial goal of achieving localized security by summer 08.
And that was in the same week here where we get this report that the commanders in the field are preparing military operations through at least summer of 2009, according to Reuters. I suppose it's appropriate to make all, contingency plans along these lines to stay as long as they feel the job needs to be done. Shouldn't they also be making withdrawal plans at the same time? And are your sources telling you that they have even drawn up such plans, Scott?
Well, I don't really have any sources at that level, but when Hillary Clinton goes to the Pentagon and says, what do you have going on? They call her, unpatriotic.
Right.
So, if a sitting Senate member can't get a straight, honest answer from the Department of Defense, I mean, the likes of us, Brad, and the media, the knee-shaky, media, they're not going to get anything either. This is really frustrating, I think, for a lot of people who have their family members in Iraq. And there's something else going on with the family members that most people aren't aware of, is that a lot of units that are serving in Iraq and Afghanistan are moving. And when the unit moves, the family members move, and so they put all these people on alert to move from Germany back to the United States to Texas, and last week they just popped up and said, maybe we're not going to move them. So not only have we provided ultimate turmoil in the lives of the active duty military, but their families are getting a big jerk around right now as well.
Well, they are, and I wanted to talk about Tillman, but let's for a second jump to another story here that came out this week. The veterans, large veterans group, are suing the U.S. over shameful failures in health care. When these guys come back, I think this is a 12,000, it's a class action lawsuit representing about 12,000 American veterans who are saying they're not getting their care. They're failing to the backlog of people who are applying for care here. They're not even reviewing their applications. We've got folks with traumatic stress disorder who just can't get care anymore. They face a backlog, it says, at the Department of Veterans Affairs of 600,000 claims, Scott.
That's 600,000. It's the suit itself is 73-page long. It took that long to describe what this suit is all about. And, of course, one of the big, I believe it was American Legion, came out against the lawsuit and said it was misplaced because they're not really for veterans anyway. They're about their own political agenda.
Who, the American Legion?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure about the Veterans of Foreign War, but it's Nicholson resigning, $6 million worth of computers missing. It's kind of been the Veterans Administration, except even Max Cleland had a tough time dealing with it. It's been sort of this dumping ground for unlicensed doctors, for foreign doctors waiting credentials, for people who couldn't get jobs in other hospitals because they don't have standards, they don't kick butt, they've let veterans over the years decay and die. They have long lines, substandard care, crumbling infrastructure. It's been like that in our entire nation's history, and we just have so many soldiers going, and Marines and airmen going back and forth between Iraq and Afghanistan. It's time. It's time to deal with this. And Peter and I have had this conversation. You know, there are still World War I veterans alive, but there's just one left.
Right.
So now that's how long we're going to be taking care of these kids, just from this, the first big conflict of the 21st century. At the beginning of the 21st century.
Yeah, and the rate these guys are going, we're going to see many more ahead. The veterans that I talk to, they say that once you get into the VA program, that the hospitals are actually pretty good, but it's tough to get in the first place. And yes, we saw with, Walter Reed, everything crumbling and so forth. Do you hear that they do not get the type of care once they get into the system that they ought to have?
Well, that's just everybody. Maybe it's just everybody complains. Soldiers love to complain, but you have.
But you talk to more of them than I do, I'm sure. So,
I haven't really quizzed anybody recently on this. I know that there's the issue for us here in our area was a veteran cemetery nobody wanted to pay for, but they've gotten that taken care of after 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been sort of a game that they've played with our veterans and the VA, and the game is wait. And if you make them wait long enough, they'll just die off.
When we had, I remember certainly in the 80s, we would see the homeless population grew and, so many folks were Vietnam vets and, who were broken down emotionally, physically, and everything else. And are we going to see another generation like that in our country of Iraq vets?
We're already seeing it. We're already seeing the mentally ill homeless through our veterans. We've seen veterans who came back from Iraq and Afghanistan and misbehaved in their units because their PTSD was not properly diagnosed, and they were chaptered or actually given bad conduct discharges for their subsequent misbehavior.
Mm-hmm.
And, we talked about the case in Colorado Springs last week about how they, instead of properly diagnosing PTSD, they just said it was pre-enlistment conditions, and so they got nothing. So they dumped them out on the street and hope, as a sergeant used to say, you can blank in one hand and hope in the other and see which one fills up first. hope that these soldiers, these veterans of all different ages now, because we have so many reservists and National Guardsmen who have been, you know, 35, 40-year-old sergeants and sergeant first classes versus guys in their 20s normally.
Right.
It's going to be a painful awareness, and it's now because we've had these reservists and National Guardsmen across the country, not clustered around military bases.
Do you suppose the resignation of Jim Nicholson last week, the head of the Veterans Affairs Department, did that have anything to do with this lawsuit, which I think was announced, you know, just a couple of days later?
I'm not sure what this guy's deal is. I think he was woefully unprepared for the job. I think he got the job as a political payoff, much like the other crony program that Bush runs, as far as rewarding, you know, pioneers, people who raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for his campaign, got these really plum jobs that they were not qualified for. And we can talk about FEMA, the VA, Red Cross, et cetera, et cetera. And so he just may have got to the point where there's so much bad news is coming from so many different directions. He's not going to make his future board-sitting career as a successful guy on the VA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think this was just a stepping stone to political office or something else, and he's getting out while he can.
Well, clearly he was pushed, though. He didn't jump, did
well,
he?
Yeah, because he... Okay.
Well, I mean, they've been getting all this heat over Walter Reed and everything else, and who knows? Maybe it's a rat from a sinking ship. There's a lot of them right now.
I think that's probably, you know, who knows? What else? We don't know what else is going on in the VA. What hasn't bubbled to the surface yet? And I'm sure there's going to be, you know, we've had contracts go bad in the active duty front. What's going on in the VA system? We have no idea.
We do. We don't. Let's take a quick break here. Back with one more segment with Scott Dick. Election Integrity Hour. Thereafter, Tova Wang speaks for the first time. Hope you're going to stick with us. Also, your calls. 888-5-PETER-B. We're still waiting for the Bush supporters, the 28%ers, the dead enders, to give us a call and tell us why. We got the lines open for you. Just tell us why. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale reminding you to listen in every Saturday for my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m., honest talk about addictions and how recovery is possible. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. With addictions now the number one fastest rising disease in America, I mean all addictions, sex, food, gambling, alcohol, shopping, we are all affected. So listen in and call in. Saturdays 4 to 5 with me, Sheila Gale, brought to you by Sun Street Centers, prevention and recovery centers serving the Monterey Peninsula for over 30 years.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
everybody, let's take a look at the very latest and start off with a problem working right now. It's in King City, northbound 101, right at Canal, or just before Canal Street. We have a bicyclist that is in the middle lane there, and it is causing a little bit of a problem. Meanwhile, San Martin, it's East San Martin at Murphy Canyon. We do have a report of an accident working there, and it looks like that one is still working. In fact, still blocking the intersection as we speak. Other than that, northbound and southbound 17, no problems to report there, which is always great news. And no problems to report northbound or southbound Highway 1. A support brought to you by Office Depot. Need great-looking documents? At Office Depot, you'll find Xerox certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right. Guaranteed. Stop by Office Depot or visit them online 24/7. Office Depot, taking care of business. That's traffic on KRXA.
Yeah, we'll see you in September. That's General Petraeus' message. Although maybe it might be November. Maybe it might be 2008, 9. Who can keep up anymore? According to a new Washington Post ABC News poll, Americans trust Democrats rather than the Bush administration to find a solution to a war that remains enormously unpopular. And they prefer that the Democratic-controlled Congress make decisions about a possible withdrawal of U.S. forces. By a margin of 2-1, Americans said Congress rather than the president should make the final decision about when to withdraw U.S. forces from Iraq. Even 3 in 10 Republicans side with Congress over the president on this question. More than 6 out of 10 Americans in the new poll said Congress should have the final say on when to bring the troops home. Majorities of Democrats, independents, and even Republicans regard Bush too inflexible on the war. Asked whether Bush is willing enough to change policies on Iraq, nearly 8 in 10 Americans said no. The people get it, Scott Dick, if not the Bush himself.
Well, he's just stalling, Brad, to get us to the end of the election cycle so he can leave office as a war hero, and whoever follows him, Republican or Democrat, is going to screw it up, and they're going to get out of Iraq, and any time that anything happens in the planet, he's going to say, see? And I just want to point out for people, for listeners, Brad, that terrorism is a tactical operation, and it can be employed by across the political spectrum, far right, far left, it doesn't matter, in the middle, communist, socialist, democratic government. There's so many cases of what we describe as terrorism. It is a tool. And one of our great generals, Odom, said, you know, declaring war on terrorism is like declaring war on the night attack. So as long as there's one book on the library shelf that talks about these non-linear battle kind of fights, you know, excusing bombs or to gain attention to have a propaganda victory, people will employ those tactics. It's about addressing people's needs. You can't kill these people off. You can kill them all. And in 10 years, somebody will grow up, they'll take the book off the library, and they'll read about the war in Iraq and go, aha. So this, it's fundamental, the whole thing is fundamentally flawed, and we got to kill the head of the snake.
Well, it is, but I don't see how it how Bush helps himself by running out the clock at this point and being a war hero in 08. I don't see that happening. Scott,
I'm talking about in his own mind.
Oh, yeah, a war hero in his own mind.
In his own mind.
Well, that's true. He is a hero in his own mind. You had mentioned the $6 million worth of computers that disappeared from the VA, I guess, offices around the country. Phil in the bradblog.com chat room talks about the stolen ID databases in the at the VA, and that he got a letter from the VA saying that his ID could have been stolen. Was that part of the $6 million of computers that disappeared, or is that a completely separate scandal?
Well, this is part of their auditing, and who knows what part of the scandal. I got the same kind of letter last year when the laptop was taken home by a consultant who was authorized to take it home, and then he was fired for taking it home, even though he had a letter of authorization, because they just you know, kill the messenger kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They got the laptop back, and I had a letter from the VA saying, no worries, don't really monitor it. Don't worry about your credit. Nothing bad happened.
All right, well, speaking of everything's fine, don't worry about a thing. Speaking of killing a messenger here, we've just got another minute or two. This Pat Tillman business is really bizarre, and they're using... can you explain, before we get to this general who may be demoted, why the hell is the Bush administration using executive power to keep people from getting to the Tillman documents about what happened with his death?
It just proves how lame they are when it comes to supporting the military. The guy was killed in a friendly fire. There's no such thing as friendly fire. In a blue-on-blue engagement, they shot him and killed him, and then they lied about it. And, you know, Jessica Lynch said it best last April. She said, I'm still confused as why they chose to lie and tried to make me a legend when the real heroics of my fellow soldiers that day were, in fact, legendary. The truth of war is not always easy to hear, but it's always more heroic than the hype. They just don't get it in this administration. They just tell the truth and make it a tragedy instead of this stupidity compounded with tragedy.
Well, they certainly made a hero out of Tillman, who arguably was a hero, but when he was killed by friendly fire, blue on blue, as you say, they didn't want to release this information, and now it looks like a three-star general may be, demoted?
Yeah, after retirement. See, all retired officers serve until like age 970.
Right.
And, you know, he's going to, and three stars and four stars have to retire, get permission from the Senate to retire at those levels, because those are nominative jobs. And so you don't get to keep those. Those aren't real ranks like brigadier or major general or captain are. So he got permission to retire as a three star, and he's going to be demoted. And, you know, I want somebody in your studio to start playing the air violin for him, because his retirement pay is going to go from $9,600 a month to $8,700 a month. So now, after his demotion, he's only going to get $104,376 a year.
Poor fellow. I hope he'll be okay.
My heart is just broken, and he'll sit on some board, and, you know, every day they'll have coffee, and they'll say, you got a bum deal.
And for what exactly is he being demoted? Have they told us what it is that is earning him this?
Yeah, he lied.
He lied.
He lied. He covered it up.
Well, that usually gets you a promotion. There must be some mistake here.
Well, they got appointed somebody, and apparently they had another officer investigate and say, you know what, he lied. And they had a chance to warn Bush, and they didn't. And so Bush went public with this fairy tale about Lint Tillman, and, you know, it was just it just has hurt the family so bad. It just angers me to no end, Brad. This is administration.
The family has hurt the family? What family?
The Tillman family.
I see.
And all veterans, all families that have family members killed in Iraq, they don't know, they cannot trust the government. This is like 22 of these cases.
Mm-hmm.
Tillman is just the most public.
Sure.
When they tell your husband, son, brother, nephew, whatever, was killed in a, you know, firefight, he was KIA, killed in action, it turns out, no, he's run over by a car, he's killed by another soldier, he committed suicide, or he's shot by his own troops. And that's not a way for, you know, people want to think of their veterans who were killed in this kind of conflict as heroes, and then you find out that, you know, no, he took his own life, or he's killed by an ex-lover or some awful thing, but they lied to you for a number of months. I think they're trying to, I don't know, I can't get into my head why they would do that. Tillman was so public, Brad.
Yes, I know. It's unbelievably bizarre, this entire Alice in Wonderland world that we're living in. Scott, I got to get out. Scott Dick, thank you so much, sir. Our regular PBC Military Affairs contributor. Thanks for all you do, my friend.
You're welcome, Brad. Anytime.
All right. We're going to be back with our Election Integrity Hour. A quick update on tomorrow's events up in Sacramento. Deborah Bowen's top-to-bottom review, and then, for the first time, at least since she's been ungagged, Tova Wang going to talk to us about the voter fraud report that the EAC gamed. She's ungagged, and she's ready to talk right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.